Good morning, everybody. Hope everyone's doing great today. So 2 weeks ago, the Seminoles were picked the number one recruiting class of the year. I'm so proud. As you guys know, I bleed garnet and gold. However, guess what? 3 years ago, UM was voted number one recruiting class. So even if you have the raw talent, you need good coaching. The jury's still out on our Noles coach, Jimbo Fisher, but you can see with Randy Shannon and the Hurricanes, the talent without the coaching does not always equal success. So I give all of you on the call kudos for wanting to listen and get some nuggets to learn more. With over 70 people on the call, there must be a need. I heard from a lot of you after last month's book. Many of you sheepishly admitted to not reading the book. That's quite all right. I'd love for you to read the books, but I'm just as thankful if you want to listen to any tidbits that I get out of the book or other people that participate on the call get out of the book. The Power of Focus is completely different from our last month's book, Zappos. This is not a touchy-feely, rah-rah book. This is a how-to manual. When I reread the book recently preparing for this call, I noticed the dog-eared pages underlining that I had from the first time I read the book in 2004. This book took me longer to read than Zappos because there was so much to digest. This is a book that could be on your desk as a manual how-to. So let's jump in and discuss some of the tips. Feel free again to interrupt me if you have any questions or want to add an insight. Right away in the beginning of the book, even where it's got the people that talk about, like the other successful authors and people in the celebrity-isms made some comments about the book. You know, one guy says, in this age of constant information, the ability to focus and weed out distractions is imperative to your success. So many of you call me and talk about, you know, your challenges with time management, and as I tell many of you, it's all about turning off the cell phone, turning off the emails, and focusing and trying to weed out the distractions because we're bombarded. You've got to shut your door or go to the nearby library, whatever you need to do. If you need to get something done, try to just block out the distractions. Another guy wrote, cameras, binoculars, microscopes, their functionality and performance begin and end with focus. This book clearly and passionately applies focus to the boardroom, locker room, and family room. He says the power of focus changed his life. It's really helped me a lot. Every time I'm feeling overwhelmed or I have a lot on my plate, sometimes I pick up this book, and this is one of those books where you can just look at the table of contents and say, okay, I'm having an issue with this week, and you can go to that chapter and get some, you know, much-needed advice. You know, early on in the book, in the foreword, he talks about how if you're looking for a magic quick fix formula, you won't find it here. You know, success is not a magic quick fix. You know, you can't get success overnight. It takes hard work. It takes investment of your time, which, you know, I've been doing this for 25 years, and I've had my share of successes. I continue to read and go to conferences and attend seminars and learn because that's what it's all about. You know, if I stopped learning, I would stop growing, and I like to learn. So, but when, you know, some of the younger people on the call, you know, this is not, you don't become an overnight success. And I think a lot of people that have been in the business, in the retail leasing business in the last 5 years, the first 2 years were great, and then the last 3 years have really been a struggle. So we need to keep investing in ourselves. And again, congratulations for those on the phone that want to learn more. You know, even for 45 minutes a month, if we can all learn more, you know, that's a great thing. But a lot of times people struggle professionally, I find, is because of it's a lack of focus, and they procrastinate, and they allow themselves to be easily distracted and interrupted. So that's what this book talks about, how to get focused. They talk a lot about reading and continual learning. On page 21, Jim Rohn says, if you read one book every month about your industry, in 10 years you'll have read 120 books. This will put you in the top 1% of your field. Conversely, he says, all the books you haven't read won't help you. So I know that some of you are not readers, but the fact that you're on the call and you want to learn, you know, books on tape, so many of us spend a lot of time in the car. So if you're not readers, try to pick up a book on tape, but, you know, and pop it into your car and see if that helps it become a more easier habit to develop, because just learning and then specifically about topics, whether it's sales or time management or focus, you know, any little tidbit will help. I'm a big believer of it. I have lots of books on tape. I look forward sometimes to longer trips to try to get through them all, because with two little kids, it's hard to be in the car and focus on something like that. When I'm in the car with them, I try to just be present and focus on them. But, you know, allowing distractions and interruptions during the work week, that's the biggest part of not being able to focus. And if you cannot focus, you can't get anything done. So, again, turn off the cell phones, unplug the phones. I try to do, if I've got a lot on my plate, what I try to do is if maybe like 9 to 11, I'm a big newspaper reader in the morning. I like to read the newspaper in the morning because you never know if I'm going to be at a lunch meeting where someone's talking about something that was in the Herald that morning, and I don't want to be caught being that person that thought I would read the paper that night. I want to be in the know because I want to be able to have a conversation and learn something about what those people think are the issues in our current events and in our community. So I'm a big believer in reading the newspaper in the morning. But, you know, if I've got a lot on my plate and I don't have any morning meetings from 9 to 11, I focus on, you know, what he talks about in the book is he says the rule of five. Have five things that you want to accomplish that day. And if you can get three done before noon, you know, you're well on your way to a successful track to get 15 to 20 things done that week. And I talk to people who say they don't think they got anything done in a month. So if you have the rule of five, and if you can focus between 9 and 11 or 11 and 1, and you can get those three done, You're definitely well on your way. So those of you guys on the phone, try the rule of five. So people say, well, I have 100 things on my to-do list. I know, we all do. But when we're staring at the 100 things, that's when it's very easy to procrastinate. So pick five and say, and then narrow that down and say, what three things can I get done before noon? And maybe you can't get them done. Maybe you're working on a lease and all you need to do is call the broker to see where, you know, the retailer's comments are, and that's one thing off your list, following up with the broker or getting back with the broker on an issue. You know, maybe they need to know the tonnage of the AC in the unit. So focus on the rule of five, and I think that if you really take that on and do it for 21 days, which is they say what it takes to create a habit, you'll find yourself going home at night going, gosh, I got those five things done. And at the end of the week, I got 20 things done. And at the end of the month, I got 80 things done. And you'll feel so much better, and you probably will get more done than that. He talks about, on page 50, the time wasters. You know, he says, how much TV do you watch? He says that the average adult watches 6.5 hours of television a day. And he says, that's average. That's 11 years of your life watching TV. That's crazy. I like to watch TV, and it's kind of like my downtime after the kids go to bed at night from like 9:30 to 11, but 6.5 hours a day is crazy. If you're doing something like that, you know, maybe just cut it in half and say, okay, I still like my reality TV, or I still like the dramas or the comedies or movies or whatever, but cut it in half and do something else with that time. And maybe it's read a book, you know, but think about the time wasters. And I've shared this with some of you too. When you call me and talk about time management, clock your week. Start Monday morning at 8 and go to Friday night at 6. And every 15 or 30 minutes, write down what you do with your time. And I think it's an eye-opening exercise. It's a very difficult exercise. You know, it's annoying, and but it's very productive at the end of the week. And I've had, you know, and if you want, send me send me your time log at the end of the week, and I can discuss it with you and give you some pointers. But typically I find that people by Wednesday or Thursday start to see the time wasters, and just it's kind of like admitting you have a problem. You know, if you find yourself Googling or on the internet or talking with friends, you know, again, just say, I'm going to cut this out 50% of your time. But they said if on page 51, if you cut your TV out 1 hour a day, that's 665 hours per year. That's an additional 9.5 weeks of productivity, 2 additional months. How about that? To get 2 additional months just by cutting out 1 hour of TV per day. I like that. I like those odds. So I think we can probably all do that. He talks about that this is not a society of goal setters. And I'm a big goal setter. A lot of you were on my webinar in December on goal setting. Every year I do my goals. I do my goals with my kids. You know, every Thanksgiving we sit down Thanksgiving night, and I have my 3 nieces usually with me, and now they're 15, 13, and 11. And everyone in the family has a sheet of paper, and we do goals for the following year. And, you know, when my son was 3 or 4 or 5, you know, I had to help him, and it would be, you know, get along better with my brother or make my bed. But as they grow older, they become more about school or relationships, and I see the growth with my nieces from when I used to work with them when they were, you know, 9, 7, and 5 to now. Goal setting is so important, and it basically, you know, the universe, if you write it down and you're specific and you put dates, these goals are achieved. You know, he talks about in here, which is a very, very difficult thing to do. In 2004, I read this book, and you know, he talks about writing down 101 goals for your life. It's kind of like the bucket list, like the movie. It took me weeks to get 101 goals down. You really, you know, after about 30 or 40, you've got to reach and really use your imagination of what do I really want to accomplish in my lifetime. And maybe it's meeting someone, going to lunch with, you know, some important person. Maybe it's, you know, I have lots of travel on my goals. But one of the things that I wrote on my goals in 2004, when I only had one son, now I have two, I wrote that I wanted to teach a class. I wanted to live overseas or, you know, live in an international, in another country with my son. And I also had on my goals that I wanted to be a professor and I wanted to teach. Well, lo and behold, about a month ago, FSU contacted me, and we are talking about me going to Valencia, Spain in summer 2012 for a 6-week program teaching an intro class to real estate where myself and my 2 sons would live in Valencia, Spain. So I am so excited, and but it's so true. If you just write it down, and then opportunities come your way, and you realize it's something you wanted to do and it was on your goals, and you can seize the opportunity quicker. But I did nothing to prompt that call. It just came to me, and it sounds kind of corny, but it's the universe responding to, you know, what you write down. So I implore you to write down your goals annually, and I urge you to try to do the 101, even if you only get 50 done. So writing down goals, I think, is a huge, huge part of accomplishing success that you want in life. Jim Rohn, again, the author obviously likes him. He keeps quoting him on page 65, says, Master philosopher Jim Rohn astutely observes that there are 2 major pains in life. One is the pain of discipline, and the other is the pain of regret. Discipline weighs ounces, but regret weighs tons when you allow your life to drift along unfulfilled. So don't let the regret of your life weigh you down. You know, get the discipline and move on and make things happen for yourself. Create goals that get you excited. I've got some really excited, you know, that living abroad thing and teaching, you know, gets me excited. It got me excited back then, and now it's even more exciting if it turns out to happen to be true. He says life is too short to miss the good stuff. You know, reach high, you know, reach for things that you think are crazy because you just never know. He talks a lot about giving back, that your goals should include giving back. I think that a lot of times when I meet with people, you know, recently there's a lot of unemployed people out there, and I meet kids that are graduating without jobs, and I say to them, you know, well, what are you doing to fill your days? And they look at me like with blank stares. And, you know, so there's two schools of thought. These kids that are recently graduates, and they think they can just hang out at their parents' house and go to the beach and, you know, go on an interview once or twice a week. Then, you know, which I have a problem with. The second thing is I've got friends who have worked for 20 years. They're out of a job, and they're looking, and they're depressed about it. And, I completely empathize with that. But what I say to both of them is go out 20 hours a week and give back to a not-for-profit that needs your help. Well, first of all, when you see people less fortunate than you are, it's hard to be depressed when you've got maybe some savings in the bank and you've got a house and you've got lights on and you're dealing with someone who comes to a food pantry to get food and needs help paying their electric bill because their lights will get turned off. So it's going to give you some ability to have some gratitude and some gratefulness, and you won't get sucked into that woe is me and, you know, have a lot of sympathy. Second of all, for the kids and also for the veterans, you meet people in these organizations, board members, other volunteers, you know, networking. You know, when you network, you're going to learn. We're going to have a book in a few months about networking, but the difference between networking and not working is one letter. So anyway, you know, you're not going to find a job sitting at home or going to the beach or watching TV and feeling sorry for yourself. So get out there. Also, he talks about surrounding yourself with proactive individuals who will support and encourage you. So many times I talk to people and, you know, they have friends, quote unquote, around them that are just dissing them all the time. And, you know, well, why are you writing down those goals? You're never going to achieve those goals. Goals don't, you know, you've got to, I understand there's people in our lives that we need to keep in our lives. Maybe they're relatives of ours, but we can limit our interaction with them. I have phenomenal friends. I have friends who I love dearly that are not optimistic, positive people, and I try to either put a deaf ear to their negativity or, you know, I try to turn them around, but staying positive and optimistic, you know, that mental attitude is so important to overcoming obstacles. So think about it. When you've got this great idea and someone tries to throw water on it, just recognize that person for their limitations and ignore them, and you keep reaching for the goals. And if you need an injection of motivation or upliftingness, call me, and I'll give it to you because I love people who have crazy big dreams and big goals. He talks about, you know, that's the same thing with doing goals. He says for the rule of five, everyone should do it the night before. Take 10 or 15 minutes to do it. So when you jump out of bed in the morning, you've got the plan already. He says the one thing that separates winners from losers is winners take action. You know, losers let life happen to them. He writes a quote on page 101 by Charles, quote-unquote, Tremendous Jones. There are essentially two things that will make you wiser: the books you read and the people you meet. He says that, again, reading, which, you know, I'm a big believer, read biographies and autobiographies, because you'll find out that very successful people have had all kinds of obstacles in their life, and they're successful because they've overcome them. You know, he talks about reading 20 or 30 minutes a day. You know, I probably read an hour to 2 hours a week, unless I'm frantically trying to finish a book, and maybe on a Sunday afternoon I'll spend, you know, 3 hours or maybe a couple evenings at night. But, you know, he talks about when you read or even listen to 20 minutes in the car, that you could earn a university diploma just by driving to and from work every day. And how great is that, that we could do that? But he also talks about, he says, if you really want to rise to the top, invest 1 hour of your day to learn more about yourself and your industry. Developing the single habit can make you a world expert within 5 years. You know, look around. How many people invest an hour of their day to learn more about themselves and their industry? Even if you only invested an hour a week, even everyone could take an hour a week and invest it in themselves to learn about their industry. So if you want to be the best in what you do, you've got to put time in. I look, 25 years later, I still invest in learning about my industry. I still read, you know, every morning I read the Herald, the Review, and the Wall Street Journal. I read the Shopping Centers Today. I read Florida Trend. You know, there's periodicals that I read. Then I also try to read other things that are not in our business. I went last year to, last September, I went to a presentation summit conference where I learned about people that make and give presentations. You know, I try to go to conferences where I learn something other than our industry because, you know, other industries have great ideas that can be transported to our industry. But, you know, back to, he says that Clement Stone says, I make a list of my friends and I put a letter N next to the ones that nourish me, that encourage me to be great, who are positive, optimistic, solution-oriented, and have a can-do attitude. It's your choice to surround yourself with the type of people that you want in your life. He said, eliminate the people that are poisonous to your health and who try to drain the life out of you. Avoid toxic people who nitpick and only bring negativity. Very good advice. It's very hard, but it's very, very, very good advice. He talks a lot about it's way easier to keep your current customers than find new ones, which, you know, that's like in leasing. If you can deliver a great service and follow up after the lease is done, and if it's a tenant or a retailer that's looking to open future locations and you have a large portfolio, it would be great to have their second, third, fourth, and fifth in your own portfolio. Or if you're a tenant rep person, obviously, this works even better. If you find one location for them, hopefully they'll hire you to find the next five. But you've got to over-deliver and under-promise to make that happen. They talk about when you're working with clients, he says, normally money is what you deposit at the bank, but when it comes to relationships, you can make a variety of deposits. And basically that's, you know, he says sending a note about something, an article in a newspaper that you think that would relate to their business. You see them in the paper, sending them a congratulatory card, you know, knowing when their birthday is, knowing what their favorite hobbies are, sports, you know, if they have a favorite team like me, you know, sending a note, saw that your team won last night. He talks about the McKay 66. Harvey McKay is a business guru. He's wrote a bunch of books, and, you know, Harvey always said that he had 66 things he wanted to know about every one of his clients. You know, their kids' names, their kids' birthdays, you know, it goes on and on. And obviously the message is the more you know about your clients and the more you can be more on a highly personal level with them. You know, hey, how was, you know, your son graduated from Emory last week. You went to the graduation. How did it go? The more you take your time with your clients, the more your clients will appreciate that and want to do repeat business. There's a chapter on page 136 that talks about and then some, and he talks about having a deeper relationship with your clients. But one thing that stuck with me that I thought was super was around the dinner table at night, he asked his kids, so on a scale of 1 to 10, how was I today as a dad or how was I today as a husband? And the kids went around the table and said, well, you know, today you were an 8 because, you know, you were on your cell phone when I was trying to tell you about my test grade and you weren't really present. And you could have been a 10 had you turned the cell phone off and, you know, were present when I was talking to you. And I tried that with my kids. And it was great, a great learning experience. And, you know, they, of course, said, okay, Mommy, how are we as kids today? So I got to share with them my thoughts, too. But every once in a while, you know, check in and see how are you doing, you know, as a customer, how are you doing for your customers or your friends or your family? You know, he talks about getting right to the point. And I attribute this in canvassing. You know, when I canvass, I don't walk in and say, "Hi, my name is Beth. I have a shopping center, you know, in Davie. I'm, you know, I have my own company." You know, basically I walk in, I say, you know, I own a shopping center in Davie. What are your expansion plans? Or are you happy with your current location? You know, I get right to the point. Busy people appreciate this, he says. Don't socialize. They're going to see right through any false insincerity. Oh, your store is so great. You know, if it's not true, don't compliment them because they'll see through it. You know, later on, after I've gotten their attention and I showed them the flyer, then I'll go, "By the way, my name's Beth." But when you first walk in, they don't really care what your name is. All they want you to do is get to the point and tell them why you're there and why you're interrupting them. And, you know, he talks about that on page 142. Busy people, like salespeople especially, to just get to the point. Confidence. There's a whole chapter on 158, starting on 158, called the confidence factor. Confidence is a habit, he says, that can be honed and strengthened every day. I can't speak more highly about confidence. It comes in every part of the business we do. Certainly it comes in networking. It comes in canvassing. It comes in negotiating. It comes in closing. It comes in getting a job. It comes into, you know, forming relationships. You've got to have confidence. And if you don't have confidence, you need to work on it. And you need to have mantras. And you need to put little notes all over your computer screen, your cubicle, your mirror in the morning. You know, confidence is the number one thing that you need to be wearing when you walk out of your house in the morning. The more confident you are, the more successful you'll become. And I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm just talking about understanding that when an obstacle comes up, that you have the confidence to know that you're bright enough to figure out a solution to it. And we're having an event on April 2nd, which will help everyone that attends inject all of ourselves, including myself, with a boost of confidence. It's called the Ropes Course. Go on my website and learn more about it. It's going to be phenomenal. And if you, over the last 3 years, have been struggling because things have not been as great as they were in the prior 3 years, and you need a shot of mojo, I promise you, I get 100% guarantee that if you come to this Ropes course, you will get an injection of self-confidence that we all need every once in a while, and it's limited to 20 people, so you need to hurry up and sign up because I can't have more than 20. But I did this many years ago, and it was probably the most self-confident injecting experience of my life. So join me. It'll be a lot of fun. He talks about, you know, not procrastinating, you know, because when you procrastinate and you don't get things done, it hurts your self-confidence, because then you go home at night saying, "Oh, you know, I didn't get anything done," and you dwell on that, and, you know, you don't want to do that. So if you can help yourself and not procrastinate, and he had this great, I'm trying to find it in the book, a great thing that he broke out the word procrastinate, and the letters in it, I guess, formed the word castrate. And basically he said procrastination is like castrating your process of success. And I thought that was, I love that. So don't procrastinate. Get it done. But he says confidence is the glue that holds everything together. It's a habit forged from many sources. So sometimes if I'm down or whatever, I'll just go to that chapter and read about confidence. And there's a lot of great, you know, it talks about preparation and the knowledge of power and how if you're prepared, you have more confidence. And I truly believe that. When I'm insecure, I usually find that the reason I'm insecure is because I haven't prepared to the fullest. You know, he talks about when you're networking and maybe you're feeling insecure or vulnerable and you're trying to go up to someone that you want to meet and they're very successful in the business, you know, what are some of the things you can talk to them about? Well, everyone likes to talk about themselves. And I always used to tell my rookies, just, you know, go up to them and say, you know, how did you become successful, or what are your secrets to success, or what advice do you have for me starting out in the business? And people love to talk about themselves, and they like to give advice. So those are always great questions to ask anyone who's been in the business. Even if you're a new graduate and you want to go to talk to someone who's only been in the business a year. They have valuable insights because they were where you were a year ago. So it doesn't matter if they're a veteran or a newbie. You know, it could be someone who just got a job and graduated 3 months ago. Well, how did you get the job? What advice would you give me? Versus, you know, the questions you might ask me 20 years in the business are a little different. But don't be afraid to ask questions. What's the worst that could happen? I mean, I can't even imagine anyone wouldn't answer questions. When he talks about on 192 and 3 asking for the business. And, you know, he says, don't waffle. Just go for it. You know, just go for the close. So many people, I mean, I hear all the time, people say, so can I ask you a question? Don't say, can I ask you a question? Just ask the question already. He talks about confidence a lot in the closing chapter of how to close and how to ask for the business. He says, ask consistently. Some of you on the call who I know well, you know, I tell you I'm canvassing, you got to go back 5 times. You know, I have a recent client that we went into a women's fitness studio, and she practically spit in my face. And, you know, being that I'd been in this business 20, 25 years, I don't know if I would have gone back to her, but this is up in the Tampa market, and I was just with him that first day. He continued to do what I told him by getting the 5 no's. And about 3 months later, he called me and said, guess what I'm doing? And I said, what? He says, I just picked up a check for $37,000, a cashier's check. I said, from who? And he said, so-and-so fitness studio. I said, the lady that almost spit in my face. And he said, yeah, you told me I couldn't give up until I got 5 no's. So it absolutely works. Obviously, if you're canvassing 100 people a week, you know, you don't want to go back to all of them and get 5 no's, but the 50 that you think would be great for your centers, those are the ones that you want to go back to. I had a friend in Indianapolis who said, there's not that many retailers out here. And I said, well, if there's 200 retailers and you need to go back to every one of them 5 times, that's 1,000 people, that should take you through the next 6 months, or more. So if you focus on the 5 visits and don't stop and don't give up until you get the 5 no's, that definitely will bring business to you and get you leases to sign. Okay. The same thing in the chapter 8, he talks about consistent persistence. You will never achieve big results in your life without consistent and persistent action. He says, when you consistently make better choices, you create better habits. He talks a lot about consistency. He talks about, keeping up with current events. He talks about keeping the distractions away, keeping the time wasters, the TV watching away, eliminating some of that or cutting it in half, being accountable for your actions. He says, you'll be remembered for what you did, not what you said. I thought that was great. Oh, here it is. He says, what a cunning word procrastinate is. It disguises the real word castrate, which also means to impoverish or render ineffective. So love that. Love that. Don't procrastinate. Life's too short. You've got to live it to the fullest. He says, many people don't shift because they have a need for security or the thought of doing something scares them. The thought of doing something different scares them. Change is out of their comfort zone and is intimidating. Well, here's the reality. The biggest rewards in life are found outside your comfort zone. He says, success takes effort and consistency, focused activity. Laziness is not part of the equation. It's a banned substance. So laziness is a banned substance. You've got to get up and you've got to keep moving. You've got to set your goals. Do your 5 things every day and you will produce. He says time for reflection is so important, to just take some time out. You know, if you write down the goals, which I hope you all will, you know, spend 30 minutes every quarter looking at them and seeing how you're doing. I don't do enough of that. I'd probably do it a couple times a year. I should, he says sometimes do it every day. Jim Carrey wrote a check for $1 million, you know, when he was, I think, 23. He said, I'll know I've made it when I get my first $1 million acting role. And he wrote it to himself, and I have a check similar to that and have it on my jewelry box in my mirror. So every time I open my jewelry box to get earrings out or something, I've got this check staring at me. And that's about the closest thing that I have as far as, you know, something that I see every day, or I have a mantra. You know, I try to speak positive statements to myself, and I know some of you are rolling your eyes and it's corny stuff, but I read, every book I read has something to say about it, and it's written by very, very successful people. So even if I'm sometimes have a hard time believing in some of these things, how do you not believe it when you're reading it and it's from people who have reached, you know, significant heights in their careers? On page 263, we're getting to near the end, he says, "Why hesitate? Upon the plains of hesitation are the bleached bones of countless millions who on the threshold of victory sat down to wait, and in waiting they died. Why hesitate? Sign up for the ropes course now. Why hesitate?" He definitely talks about giving back, which I'm a big believer in. I have a charity, and I give back, and it definitely helps you. If you have any low moments, I go to our food pantry, and I see the people in need, and that knocks any sad thoughts in my head about woe is me, if I lose a big deal, right out. You know, so if you can give back even a couple hours a month, I think it will add a lot, not only to the community, but to your life and to your attitude. The last thing that I'll talk about is on page 296. And he says, there are no shortcuts to building a life of substance. It's an ongoing process. It takes time, real effort, and a desire to become more than you already are. It's a worthy challenge. So I hope you have this book. This is a book, if you could see the book and all the yellow stickies and all the dog ears in it, you would laugh. But it's definitely a book I go back to again and again. I love the book, and I hope it becomes something that you like too. Remember, we have the ropes course coming up. We will be sending out a survey for the call today and an announcement of next month's book. I think it's going to be a good one. I'm about to finish it. I want to finish it before I announce it, but we'll be sending an email. So you guys have a great day. Thanks for participating, and I look forward to talking to you next month. Take care.